From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of December 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Matt Bennett of TGM in Windsor, Illinois, will be along to take up the cash grain market. In agricultural news, the Chinese Ministry of Commerce expects to continue probing anti-dumping claims against the United States distillers' dried grains. US EPA has released its 2012 renewable fuels target, and the three nations of North America have agreed to delay an appeal of a WTO ruling against the U.S. until March. We'll have details of these stories shortly. As we close out our program today, we'll take a quick look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Taking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, the nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat at 6.45 and a quarter finished 6 cents lower on the day. That's the March. July, the harvest month at $6.79 and three quarters, down three. The hard red in Kansas City finished the July at $7.14 and a half, down three quarters. Corn pit now, March contract, 6.38, 4.5 cents lower. The May at 6.46 and a quarter, down four. July futures at 6.52 and a half, down 3.5, and September at $6.06, down 2.25. December corn, $5.82, down a penny and a half for the day. The March at 5.94. This is for 2013, down 1.5 cents. January soybean futures, 11.87 and a half, 10.75 lower. The March at $11.97, down 11. May futures, $12.07 and a quarter, down 10.25, and July at $12.17 and a quarter, 9.75 lower. September beans, $12.06 and a half, down 7. November at $12.5, down 4.5 cents. Bean meal at $3.06.60, 3.50 lower. Bean oil at $51.14, down 64. Live cattle futures finished the February at $122.35, 80 cents lower for the day. March at $149.80, and the feeders down 55, and February lean hogs at $83.97 and a half, down $1.57 per 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The nearby crude oil futures finished, are still trading, at $99.65 a barrel, down rather up 28 cents. Ethanol at $2.20 2/10 cents, 2 9/10 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.02 5 cents, or 2 4/10 cents, down 9 7/10 cents. And the heating oil on the day, just about 3 cents lower, $2.92 3/10 cents. That's diesel fuel. Gold futures at $1,539.90 an ounce, down $23.10. And the Dow, just about 111 points higher at 12,262. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. A 30% chance of rain after midnight, increasing cloudiness, a low of 38 degrees. And we'll have a southwest wind at 7 to 9 miles an hour. On Friday, a 30% chance of rain continues. That before noon, cloudy, a high of 49 with a west-southwest wind between 9 and 16. Gusting all the way to 25. And then Friday night, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming mostly clear. A low Friday evening of 32 degrees with a west wind at 10 to 13. And on Saturday, sunny skies, a high of 50 degrees. South-southwest winds 5 to 8 miles an hour, increasing to 14 to 17. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 30. And on New Year's Day, partly sunny and breezy. This is for Sunday, a high of 42 degrees. Sunday night, mostly cloudy and blustery, a low of 23. It's January. Monday, partly sunny and blustery, a 28-degree high. And Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 16. Thursday, sunny and a high of 28. Tuesday night, mostly clear and a low of 21, and Wednesday, mostly sunny and a high of 35. Let me go back. Did I say 16 degrees? I did on Monday night. Partly cloudy and 16 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the closing market report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How do you like the action for the last couple of weeks as we make our way into the end of the year for both corn and soybeans?
Well, I think you, if you're on the bull side of the equation, you like it. Because unless something happens overnight that's totally unexpected, we're going to close out the month of December in both corn and soybeans with monthly reversals to the upside. You can go ahead and notch down a quarterly reversal to the upside because the market did go down underneath the late September lows when we during the last 3 months, and now we're going to end up closing above that September 30th close. So I think we're going to have some quarterly reversals, some monthly reversals, and I think technically that lays the groundwork now for some major lows have been posted in the complex. This correction off of the late August high point is complete, and now we're on the verge, I think, of the start of a new leg to the upside during the first 3 to 4 months of the new year.
That should be awfully good as we make our way towards the second month of the year, February, which is the crop insurance setting month, and producers will be looking forward to that month. Are there good fundamental reasons for the marketplace to remain higher?
Well, the South American crop is getting shorter. I mean, that's what's kind of kicked us up, at least in the short run. We don't know how short it'll be. Next week's weather will probably be real important as we start off the new year if South America weather is still under pressure. I'm not still convinced that the supplies of corn are as much as what USDA says they are on the balance sheet, so I guess I am in the camp that maybe these January crop reports are going to be generally friendly. I think that's what the monthly reversal up is telling us here for the month of December, is that the fundamental news that's going to be coming at us is going to be supportive for prices. I think it sounds to me that maybe the European situation may be getting that under control at least for a few months, and then that would maybe have an opportunity for the dollar to weaken. And then that would help fluff everything up.
There have been many new corn sales in the last week and a half of this year as corn's rallied quite a bit. You think that's the right thing for producers to have been doing?
Well, everybody has to do their own thing. And, the only thing that I know is farmers don't sell the high and end users don't buy the low. And so somehow you have to get those roles reversed before farmer selling is usually good and end user buying is usually good. But I've sat here and watched end users for the last almost 5 years try to pick bottoms, and they ain't very good at picking bottoms, and farmers ain't very good at picking tops. So usually when you see that, that's when the contrarian point of view comes into play. But I think, you know, nothing can be really wrong at these prices, and Lord knows there is enough uncertainty out there that if you went to bed with all that uncertainty, you could never get to sleep. So I do think there's a point in time that comes that farmers do have to put a price on their inventory and live with it. Everything's got to be done in moderation. I think anything done trying to hit home runs, you have a better chance of striking out than hitting a home run. I think the market performed quite nicely here, And there's nothing wrong with rewarding the market with some inventory.
You know, when you look, you're able to look back over the past couple of months, especially the end of November and then into the beginning of December, there was an awful lot of bearish sentiment in the marketplace, maybe rightfully so, due to Europe and other outside influences. Did people get too bearish at that point?
Well, usually if you go back and look at those type of events, and we've had several of them from time to time, those events are usually have a strong tendency of putting highs or lows in the market depending upon what the event is. But major events, and I think the weakness that we saw in December, a great chunk of that, I think, was due to the collapse of MF Global. I think they had more impact on the decline than probably anything fundamentally. Then the European situation, got pretty much on the front page every day, so that kind of, you know, added the whipped cream to something that was already into a liquidation-type market. And I think, you know, once we kind of got past that, the liquidation part of MF Global, and now we're starting to look forward to new growing seasons, whether it's the South American growing season, Australian growing season, or Europe or U.S., you know, there still isn't no real surplus of food around. There's definitely plenty of economic turbulence, but basically, what the strength of the dollar is telling us is that Europe is expanding their money supply. They're going to print euros to cover over the debt, and after they get done covering their debt, then Bernanke's going to start punching zeros again on his keyboard, and we're going to expand the U.S. dollar supply, because it's quite obvious that politicians on both flavors, when it gets right down to it, they can't cut. They don't know what the word cut means. Springfield can't cut. Washington can't cut. So the easiest way out is just to get the printing press to go. And I think we're going to be working with a lot more dollars and a lot more euros and a lot more of everything. And that's all going to be reflected in raw commodity prices.
I was just about to ask you if you thought that this was an awfully high low, but I think you just told me there might be some inflation there that would counteract how much the dollar is worth in the future. So maybe it may be a low of a lower proportion than we're thinking.
Yeah, I think I would not rule out a major run in the commodity complex during the first 4 months of the year. Now, I'm more inclined to be more watchful for a calendar year high here during the first third of the year. I think April 15th, give or take 30 days, might be a time window farmers should be shooting for. Last year, we were very seasonal in nature. We made old crop highs, made their highs when they normally make their highs in June. The only reason November beans and Dease corn came back and made higher highs in August is because there was a big severe discount to prices at that point. The year before that, we had November highs. So I'm kind of in the camp that farmers need to be kind of watchful for early year highs or early calendar year highs, and the South American weather pattern might be the event that propels these prices sharply higher, and that will be the incentive for U.S. farmers to plant as many acres of corn and soybeans as they can. And then if we get one good May or June rain, we'll be looking back at those highs for a long time.
They'll be a little scared to sell early because they've been burnt a couple of times on that risk.
Well, that's what's going to probably make it happen. Had to watch the farmer advisors, see how aggressive they become. I know some of them are quite bearish, but since I'm an ex-member of that club, I like to watch them get themselves in trouble. And
with fond memories or not fond memories?
Yeah, they have a tendency to get themselves in trouble. So I'd be watching these farmer advisory services. I mean, you've got members of farmer advisory services delivering $4 corn because they went out and sold them on these crossover contracts where you double up if prices hit a certain level. So you still have a bad taste in the farmers. You know, a lot of market advisor services sold this stuff way too low, and that's probably why they're going to be scared to death to sell a spring rally. I think, you know, there's ways to handle it with options, and as long as you don't get into these over-the-counter market type contracts where you can get yourself doubled up or tripled up, there is not a free lunch, and I know farmers have a tendency to want a free lunch or a free baseball cap, but when it comes to marketing, you better read the fine print. But I think there could be some pretty good selling opportunities. I'm quite positive on these quarterly reversals to the upside. And like I said, I would not rule out making higher highs in 2012 than what we saw here in 2011.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, China's Commerce Ministry says that it will extend an anti-dumping probe on imports of U.S. distillers' dried grains until June 28th of next year before making a final ruling. The ministry says a reason for the extension was because the case was special and complicated. It launched the investigation a year ago, threatening trade that has grown massively in 2009 and 10, when China became the world's largest importer. Since the probe, total DDG imports in the first 11 months of this year fell 48% from a year earlier to 1.5 million metric tons. Imports in 2010, all from the U.S., had jumped 385% to 3.16 million metric tons, worth more than $753 million. The Environmental Protection Agency has released the long-awaited 2012 renewable fuels standard volume requirements after a nearly one-month delay from its deadline. The RFS targets were established by the Energy Independence and Security Act, signed into law in December of 2007. The total RFS volume requirement for 2012 is 15.2 billion gallons, or 9.23% of the projected demand for petroleum-based fuels next year. Of that total, 1 billion gallons must be satisfied with biomass-based diesel. Advanced biofuels constitute 2 billion gallons. Overall, the RFS will require refiners to blend more than 1.25 billion gallons of renewable fuels over the amount mandated for 2011. The U.S., Canada, and Mexico have agreed to delay possible appeal proceedings in their World Trade Organization dispute over U.S. country of origin labeling rules for meat. In November, a WTO dispute panel ruled in favor of Canada and Mexico, concluding that U.S. COOL requirements violate the WTO's agreement on technical barriers to trade in two major ways: by treating imported livestock less favorably than domestic livestock, and by not meeting the stated U.S. objective of providing consumer information on origin with respect to meat products. WTO members normally require the organization's dispute settlement body to formally adopt a dispute panel ruling within 60 days of circulation, unless an appeal is filed within that period, after which the WTO's appellate body is given 90 days to rule on the appeal. However, the three parties in the dispute say they have agreed to delay the time frame for filing an appeal until March 23rd of next year. The agreement is subject to approval from the DSB, which is scheduled to meet next on January 20th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Corn and Soybean Classic series of meetings. We'll make our way around the state of Illinois beginning January the 10th. That's a Tuesday in Mount Vernon. We'll be in Springfield that week and Champaign as well. And then the following week, we'll make a northern sweep to four sites. You can find all the details on the website at CropSciencesConferences.com. That's CropSciConferences.com.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
On this Thursday afternoon, Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Much in the way of movement of grain today in your area?
Oh, yeah, there's still quite a bit of grain coming in. It's DP grain, and there's a few guys that are doing a little positioning for tax reasons here this week.
Then when you look forward into the next month, what do you see from ethanol producers and whether they'll continue to use and other end users as well?
That's a good question. You know, today, if you look to the ethanol numbers, you know, they went through 102.5 million bushels of corn last week. That's a huge number. It's a high for the year, and I'm assuming it's an all-time high, but I don't know that for a fact. But, looking forward, we've seen that they haven't really been purchasing as much corn as what they have in these last couple 3 months, which is a little bit concerning. But profitability is certainly a concern for them, and I think it's going to be really interesting in the next 2 to 3, 4 weeks to see if we have any pullback. I think a lot of guys are thinking they will, but it remains to be seen.
Are many asking you, will I get the same price next week and just waiting until the first week of January to make that sale?
Well, some guys are, but a lot of guys have kind of seen this rally for what it is. People were pretty concerned whenever we dipped under $6 there earlier in the year that we wouldn't get back over $6. And, there's several guys making some sales, and we've been encouraging guys, if they like this price, to make a sale, and then we can look for an entry point to, get back in the market.
And on soybeans?
Oh, it's a similar strategy. It's tough to tell with both corn and beans with the weather in South America. You don't really know what we're doing whenever we're trading a weather market. It's just as tough to trade theirs as it is ours. So beans and corn have been pretty well dependent upon their weather down there this week. So I think that you might see some better prices after the first of the year, though, especially if they go ahead and finish with some inclement weather.
Matt, what are the bids there?
Our cash corn bid will be $6.35, and fall of 12 is $5.52, and then cash beans will be $11.71, fall of 12 would be $11.66.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois, and joins us on a Thursday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, I'll return with the agriculture weather in just a couple of minutes.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's Pepper Pot Day, as well as National Chocolate Again Day. In this day in agricultural history in 1766, Charles McIntosh was born. A Scottish chemist, he was the inventor of rubberized waterproof clothing. He also patented a steel-making process. In 1800, Charles Goodyear was born. An American inventor, he baked rubber mixed with sulfur, a process that created vulcanized rubber. previously, rubber was of limited use since it froze hard in the winter and was sticky in the summer. After years of persistent experimentation, Goodyear created a tough, cured compound able to withstand heat and stress. Sadly, though, he was a poor businessman, and he never profited from his invention. In 1837, a threshing machine powered by a horse on a treadmill was patented in Winthrop, Maine, by Hiram A. and John A. Pitts. In 1954, William Marion Burton died, an American chemist. He devised the first thermal cracking process that more than doubled gasoline yield from crude oil by using high heat and pressure. And in 1997, fear of the bird flu led Hong Kong to order its entire population of chickens to be destroyed. Almost 1.5 million birds were culled after Hong Kong governmental officials discovered the H5N1 virus at 2 separate sites. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Pete Levitt is away today, but Drew Lerner left a little message for us on the agricultural weather forecast.
Dry weather returned to a big part of the Midwest yesterday, and it looks like the forecast is going to continue to keep precipitation somewhat limited in southern parts of the region for a little while. This isn't a pattern that's going to prevail for any great length of time, but enjoy it while you can. The excess moisture that has been present in parts of the lower Midwest, the Delta, and the southeastern states over the past few weeks will have an opportunity to abate just a little bit before we start up a new wet weather biased pattern. In the meantime, a couple of systems will be moving across the upper parts of the Midwest and the Great Lakes region. That's likely to generate some rain and snowfall periodically. The moisture will likely be most welcome across the Dakotas, Minnesota, northwestern Iowa, actually a big part of Iowa, and Wisconsin. Some of these areas have been dry for an extended period of time. In fact, since last August, there's been a downward trend in soil moisture across this region, and the moisture deficits have raised a lot of concern here in recent weeks and worry about the long-term outlook for the spring and summer of 2012. In the meantime, we're expecting to see some weather conditions deteriorate across the upper parts of the region as we do get involved with a couple of weather systems. We'll expect to see a cool front passing through the Great Lakes region today, producing a real light amount of precipitation. A second disturbance will come across the region overnight tonight and race across the region Friday, ending on Saturday morning in the extreme eastern parts of the Midwest. Both of these systems will produce a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to a quarter of an inch of moisture. There may be a little band of 1 to 3 inch snows occurring with part of this precipitation. Most of those snows will likely occur from the eastern Dakotas across the Iowa-Minnesota border region into southern Michigan. We'll look for the system to be followed by yet another disturbance over the latter part of the weekend, late Saturday and Sunday. That will be a cold front primarily. It'll produce a little rain and snowfall across the area once again. The moisture totals with that frontal boundary are not expected to be all that great, but there will be a little punch of cool air coming in behind it, and we'll see temperatures become a little bit more seasonable. Until then, it's going to be quite warm across parts of the region. We're looking for highs this afternoon in the 30s and 40s across the northern parts of the Midwest, while readings in the south are in the 50s. We'll look for temperatures tomorrow, very similar in the 30s and across the north, 40s and 50s in the south. And as we move on into the day on Saturday, again, we'll be looking at a lot of 30s and 40s north and 50s in the south. So we're stuck in a rut here until we get to Sunday and Monday, when that colder air will come through the region. High temperatures Monday afternoon will be in the teens and 20s across the northern parts of the Midwest, while 20s and 30s occur in the south. We'll see low temperatures during those colder days, slipping down into some single-digit readings and teens in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, while we'll see temperatures bottom out in the 20s across the southeastern parts of the Midwest. The cold doesn't last too long. We turn around and start warming things back up a little bit next week, so enjoy the coolness while you can. The forecast continues to suggest that in the longer run, we'll likely see a continuation of similar conditions where temperatures will likely be a little bit warmer than usual. I don't see any prolonged period of cold coming up. Down in South America, Argentina is looking at a very tough week ahead of it. It's going to continue to be basically dry in Argentina for the next 7 days, except in the far southwest corner of the country, and temperatures will be in the 90s to possibly over 100 degrees on a near daily basis all the way through the end of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon. That wraps up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.